Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up, shaking yesterday's blues, yeah. Turn the TV off, it's bad news, man. Feeling fresh like a Ziploc new man. OJ with a champagne tuna. Mimosa, Holy Ghost running through ya. Hell yeah, it's a new hallelujah. Popping like the top off a bottle and I ain't stopping, yeah.
Baby, it's a brand new day. Ain't no clouds hanging over me. Something doesn't feel the same.
News Talk 99.7 WNTK AM 1490 FM 98.9 WUVR. Welcome to the Monday Good Morning edition of Day Trip Destinations on this Monday, February 5th, 2024.
I was jamming, people. I was jamming.
She was. Her head was flailing around.
My ponytail was flying around in circles.
It was like being in a mosh pit at a rock concert.
Yeah, it was intense.
Wild.
I was holding the headphones. I was singing. I was doing a thing, you know?
Get a chiropractor sponsor.
Snap, crackle, pop.
Ow.
Wake up call to the world.
And now I'm in pain and agony.
All right, everyone. Well, happy February. Here we are. It's hard to believe that we're already in the second month of 2024. I feel like we say that every single month, but you know, it is what it is. So hopefully people had a wonderful end of January. So here we are, February. Hopefully people are ready and excited to bring in a new month of 2024. And of course, it's the Valentine's Day month. Ooh, 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 and ah.
Ooh.
I'm feeling a little slap happy today.
Mm-hmm.
I think Matt could actually slap me. That's actually where I'm at. Ice castles. Dun, 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 dun. So we have had cold temperatures and we have had enough freezing temperatures to have the ice castles team create their magical, beautiful display.
I heard they actually, didn't they open like a week earlier than normal?
So the ice castles have a pretty robust February schedule.
Yes.
So it's really great to kind of talk about them really quickly here on the show for this segment. So icecastles.com is where you can find out more information. They are located at 24 Clark Farm Road in North Woodstock, New Hampshire. It's about an hour and a half maybe or so, maybe a little bit more north from here.
I think it's like 90 minutes here.
So it's not too bad. It's definitely something you could do for a day trip destination or a day night destination.
I think night's better for
or
it.
Or a night trip destination.
Yeah. Night trip destination.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's nice at night because it's just lights are more luminous.
That's usually how they work.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep. So I would prefer to go during the evening hours. But of course, a lot of folks with kids will go during the day just because it's a little bit warmer and it's you can see.
It does get quite nippy at night.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So they have peak versus off-peak pricing. So normally it's around for general admission about $30 a person to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then for children ages 4 to 11, it's about $23. Again, that depends on peak period versus not. For the most part, they're open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, is mostly the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
But for New Hampshire February vacation, which is the last week of the month that leads into March, they're open every day of the week.
Nice.
So it's probably going to be crazy busy
for
that particular week because, of course, you know, if kids aren't at school, there's a lot of other things parents are trying to get
them to bring them to see the ice.
Castles. So you can find them on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the places. There are four cities that they have the ice castles in North America.
I don't know. I thought just one.
Nope. Huh. So four cities, four locations. Dun, 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 dun. You can do Colorado. Well, I shouldn't say cities, but, you know, for now on the website.
That is a state, yeah.
You can go. On the website, it goes into four different locations.
Okay.
And then you can click on said clickable links.
Yes.
And you can get to where they are in those particular states.
Mm-hmm.
Took me a minute to come up with the word state. So Colorado's an option. Mm-hmm. Utah's an option. Minnesota. And, of course, dun, 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 dun. New
Here.
Hampshire. Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, I think people figured it out.
I was trying to be. Anyways.
It is kind of cool that New Hampshire is the only one on the East Coast.
Pretty fun, right?
Yeah.
Super fun. It's great activity to go to. And there's a lot of reasons to go.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably like, what are the reasons? It's a bunch of ice. Oh, but you wait.
But wait.
So why visit the ice castles in New Hampshire?
I don't know. Why?
Well, there are 9 specific reasons. One, ice slides. Squeal with delight as you race down one of our exhilarating ice slides designed for people of all ages. There's caverns and archways, so explore ice caves and get lost in a frozen maze where wonder awaits around every turn. There's crawl tunnels, so squeeze through passageways just large enough for children and adults who are adventurous enough to crawl through.
That's not me.
Mystic Forest Light Walk. Take a leisurely stroll through the trees along a quarter-mile walking path, completely illuminated in the magical glow of winter.
That one's really neat, actually.
I agree. Snow tubing. Enjoy the classic thrill of cruising down a tubing hill on a path groomed for safety, speed, and fun.
Yeah.
The Polar Pub. Mm-hmm. So belly up to a frosty ice bar and order up a winter-themed alcoholic beverage that you can enjoy while you chill out in the coolest place in town.
I didn't know they had a bar there.
Get it? Coolest place? It's a new addition this year.
Oh, nice.
Check out the Polar Pub operational hours here, so you can click on the link.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Winter Fairy Village. So magic abounds in our Winter Fairy Village. Along the short loop near the Mystic Forest Light Walk, you'll be immersed in a fairy tale world where winter fairies live and play.
Yeah.
Sleigh rides. Add on a sleigh ride to your ice castle visit. Our winter sleigh rides take you through an illuminated wooded trail before dropping you back off at the castle. And then, of course, the Arctic Alcove. Book an experience in a private alcove within the castle, perfect for proposals and other special occasions. Click here for more. Da-da-da. They have like a fire pit and stuff like that. It's mm-hmm. pretty cool. It's pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
And I think they said they can fit up to like 12 to 15 people. So you can bring like a whole family. Mm-hmm. It would be cool. It would be definitely
fun. It is also nice. That. Like on the walk, they have like a couple like warming hut, like little like fire mm-hmm. thingies. So like if you're cold, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. You're not ever that far from a warming hut.
True. Or like a or just or like a fire pit.
Fire. Yeah, that's what they're called. Fire pits.
So it's definitely a super fun experience. And there's over 20 plus million pounds per castle of ice. Over
wow.
20 million pounds of ice.
That's crazy.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of weight.
It's a lot of
That's
ice.
More than a house.
Yeah.
Well, by a lot.
By a lot. Yeah.
Okay, my most houses are like around 180,000 pounds.
How do you know that?
I looked it up one time.
Oh my Lord. You are the weirdest. Full of trivia. They also have about 12,000 icicles are grown each day.
They,
and I feel like grown is kind of an interesting word, but that is kind of like
created, maybe.
Created, yeah, that's probably better.
Yeah.
So 12,000 plus icicles are created each day.
I'd use begat.
So the ice castles are a fantastic day trip,
mm-hmm.
a fantastic night trip, and also a fantastic February vacation trip.
Yeah.
You and a friend, you and a group of friends, you and the family, you and the kids, whoever you want to bring, it's a great time to go. So my February vacation plans pretty much evaporated up into smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like looking at lists of – I have a list started of things I'm going to do.
Yep.
And this is on one of – this is on the list. So Ice Castles is definitely very cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not been, it's definitely an absolute must on your winter to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the winter sucks. It's a terrible time of year.
Yes.
So it's any time you can kind of look for a little bit of positive. And
just
you can
anything.
Look for a little bit of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Is really great.
Yeah.
So this particular pop-up, it honestly, it will only be here probably. It was, I think, middle of January that they opened possibly.
Yeah.
Late January. And then it's all through February as long as the weather cooperates.
Right.
And then it'll probably be done the beginning
March.
Of March.
Yeah.
So it's only here for a very, very short period of time.
Yeah, it's not long.
So definitely consider heading up there. And I do think you do need to go to icecastles.com to purchase your tickets ahead of time
mm-hmm.
because there's specific windows when you need to be there for arriving
right.
and for kind of exploring the caves.
Yeah. Usually they have like a couple hours or something.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not like a hard, like they don't like come up to you and say like, it's 10 o'clock, get out.
Correct.
But
yeah.
You know.
But they'd want to make sure that it's not overcrowded or
right.
overpopulated at
right.
any time. So they sell tickets in certain windows.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you definitely need to purchase ahead of time. And I highly suggest to do that
yeah.
because there are times
it
when
does sell out.
They yeah they yeah. do sell out. So if you just drive up there hoping to get in, chances are, you know, especially
yep.
with them only being operational Thursday, Friday, Saturday
right.
or something like that, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It's pretty busy.
Are gonna
yeah.
find people. So it's super fun. It's a great experience mm-hmm. if you haven't been there before. They also have, the people who put Ice Castles on actually have two additional places that they've opened up this year.
Mm-hmm.
And one is in Lake George, New York, which I've always wanted to go to.
Yep.
Everyone who vacations.
Hey, I've never been there.
Everyone who vacations in Lake George says it's the most beautiful location ever.
Is it like forest mostly? Or?
It's, I don't really.
Or is that a lake?
It's on a lake. It's an actual lake. So yeah, so it's on Lake George in New York, and then Lake Geneva in Wisconsin is another one that they've just opened up. And this is called Winter Realms, the land of Arctic magic and wonder.
Ooh.
So they have a lot of other things going on in these
locations. I bet there's lasts a bit longer.
Probably.
Wisconsin.
Their space. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They probably have snow there till what, May?
Especially Minnesota. I bet that's probably just all year long.
That's just crazy.
Yeah.
So definitely, it's super fun. Yeah. Icecastles.com. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the places. And it's relatively inexpensive. You can certainly go out. There's a lot of different restaurants to go to in that little area as well.
Yeah.
So if you make a whole day of it and you want to grab lunch or you want to grab dinner, I highly recommend the Woodstock Inn and Brewery. I think it's awesome. Super great staff.
I've never been there.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. I really like it a lot. But the Ice Castles is totally something to add to your list if it's not already on there.
Right.
So that is that, folks. That's our first segment.
Okay. We'll take a quick break and come back with the next segment of Day Trip Destinations on News Talk 99.7 WNTK, AM 1490, FM 98.9 WUVR. News Talk 99.7 WNTK, AM 1490, FM 98.9 WUVR. Welcome back to Day Trip Destinations with Build Me Up Buttercup and the accompaniment by KK for the tambourine.
She loves to wake up right at the most inopportune times. And then I just proceeded to sing the song to her, so yeah. I feel like she feels part of the show.
Yeah, I think so.
KK, do you have something to say to our adoring fans? She's looking at the microphone.
Yeah.
That's all she gets.
She seems invested, but...
All right. So Build Me Up Buttercup. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the classic. Vibe. That's kind of the vibe I'm feeling right now.
Just build me up.
Buttercup. Okay. So some other things you can consider to do over your either February vacation or maybe over the weekend is, believe it or not, Squam Lake Science Center is a place that is only about maybe 45 minutes or so away.
I always forget how close Lake Winnipesaukee is to here.
Yes.
It's not far at all.
No, it's really not. It's about an hour.
Yeah.
That's why we're actually considered part of the Lakes region.
Is that really?
In a way, yeah.
I always thought that was just Lake Sunapee.
Nope.
Huh.
So Lake Sunapee is the Dartmouth-Lake Sunapee region.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And then so that's where the whole Sugar River Region Destination Management Organization came in.
Right.
Because we don't necessarily feel as though we belong in the Dartmouth portion of that.
Right. Or the Lake Sunapee.
We feel that it should be Dartmouth Upper Valley. And that should be a region.
Yeah, which I feel like it is for the most part.
It should be Lake Sunapee / Sugar River.
I feel like the only region. I feel like the only time people really reference the Dartmouth Lake Sunapee region is like on the highway.
Probably, yeah.
It's just what it says. Like it's like right before Warner, it says entering Dartmouth Lake Sunapee region.
Well, that's because that's what the state has given us. The state allocated seven.
Oh, is it an actual like designated area?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So the state has allocated seven tourism regions across the state. I think a lot of regions probably feel similar to how we feel. Because it's Dartmouth and Lake Sunapee, like it's a hyphenated thing, it's very much, it's divided.
Right.
You know, if you're in the Great North Woods, you can't really argue with Great North Woods, you know what I mean?
Where you are.
You can't really argue with White Mountains. Mm-hmm. You can't really, you know what I mean? You can't argue with Seacoast, right? You can't really do it. But for us, it's Dartmouth / Lake Sunapee region.
Right.
And it's not really.
Are we the only one that's like two regions?
Yes.
Interesting.
So it's kind of frustrating because it feels it needs to be separated. But anyways, that's a whole nother ball of wax. We've already gone down that road 10 times till Sunday, and the hard answer is no.
Okay.
But anyways, so one day, maybe.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where the Sugar River Region Destination Management Company came in. I keep saying company, organization came in, is because we felt as though it needed to be a little bit more defined and that...
it is very true because, I mean, that whole Claremont-Newport region... really just doesn't feel like it does belong in either one.
Right.
Because it's not the Upper Valley.
No.
And it's not Lake Sunapee.
No, and it's not Dartmouth.
Right. Yeah.
Well, so essentially the Lake Sunapee portion of it is connected with Sugar River region. So it's not, it's not like they're separated. So if we were to divide our tourism region, it would be Dartmouth Upper Valley. And then it would be Sugar River / Lake Sunapee region. Because it's like this whole stretch of roadway.
I mean, it makes more sense, though, because it's 103. It's the same road you're traveling through the whole area.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the Sugar River feeds into Lake Sunapee.
Right.
So it's like they are symbiotic in that way.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's our pitch to the world. But, you know, we can only do so much.
Right.
We still are, being Lake Sunapee itself, mm-hmm. we're still technically included in the Lakes Region conversation mm-hmm. because of the Sunapee being as large as it is.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why we are in this weird... We're a little more central than
right.
Newport or Claremont, obviously.
Right.
And then we're too far, you know, we're mm-hmm. too far west, if you will, for our friends in Tilton, Laconia, and Winnipesaukee.
It's kind of similar with this station, WNTK, mm-hmm. Where it was in New London for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
There's markets of radio, and they're separated by essentially county.
Mm-hmm.
So WNTK is interesting because the actual studio was located in New London, which is part of Merrimack County,
right?
Which would put it in the Concord market.
Mm-hmm.
However, the actual transmitter that we broadcast from mm-hmm. is like 3 miles off the road in Springfield, New Hampshire,
mm-hmm.
which is where it still is. But that's technically part of Sullivan County.
Correct.
So we're technically, because of the transmitter itself is in Sullivan County, we're actually part of the Lebanon market.
Mm.
Even though we're more geographically aligned with the Concord market.
Mm.
But it's a weird place because like we're like split right in the middle of two different markets. So
I feel that way at the chamber, actually, because I serve kind of halfy.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my towns are Merrimack County and some of them are Sullivan County.
Right.
So I feel like I don't really fall within either.
Yeah.
And I keep telling people too, you know, that I will do a lot of work with Sullivan County friends
mm-hmm.
Because there we're kind of a big fish in a relatively medium-sized pond.
Right.
Whereas if you're looking at the perspective of Merrimack County, we are a little fish in a very, very large pond.
Right. Because, so I mean, it's Concord, it's everything right. else. Yeah, and that was kind of the same way with – it's interesting because, I mean, Concord is, I think, considered part of the Boston larger metropolitan area.
Mm, that would make sort of sense, yeah.
But – that cutoff is like New London
because
mm-hmm. it's by county. So it's just this whole area is so weird. There's like these weird lines. Dichotomies of like two different things being the same.
Yeah.
So I remember like when I used to go to like Duncan and Concord when I lived down there,
mm-hmm.
like you'd have the cups and they say Boston runs on Duncan, even though you're in Concord.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They distributed them that far north.
That's strange.
Yeah. So it's such a weird the way they lay out maps and stuff.
Yeah. I don't quite get that.
Yeah.
But definitely I feel like, you know, I feel that kind of duplicate mm-hmm. or that dual county issue.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of people, obviously on the day-to-day, you're not going to really care about
right.
it. But if you are looking for, like, grant funding, if you are looking mm-hmm. at, you know, like, different
it gets boards, problematic.
Different boards that you're a part of,
right.
you know, if you're looking at any of those kinds of things, mm-hmm. it gets definitely, you have to kind of balance between the both of them. And that's frustrating.
I think it's interesting. Have you heard about the time zone battles that have happened over the past few years in the legislature?
Yes. I thought that they were doing away with it this past year, and I guess that's not the case.
Oh, with the spring forward?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. This is something separate.
Oh, then I don't know.
Yeah. So they're every year, someone in the legislature,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It depends on which state starts. Sometimes it's Maine, sometimes it's Massachusetts, sometimes it's New Hampshire. But they want to make us Atlantic time as okay. opposed to Eastern Coast, which would put us an hour earlier.
Okay.
Because the East Coast is so massive between, I mean, when you go from Maine to Indiana, which is all technically part of the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of ridiculous.
Mm.
So they want to, but they want to try to split off New England states, especially basically the discussion always goes one of the states in New England says, let's move to Atlantic time. And then the legislation will include wording that if we were to do this, these other X other states have to do it with us or we wouldn't do it.
And so then those other states probably don't do it.
They kind of mull it over every year.
Mm-hmm.
It always comes up in the legislature and then they ultimately knock it down because they just realize how problematic it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it basically, I think it would be like Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and maybe that's it, but it would be super problematic for like New Hampshire, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so if you live in the upper valley and you go 2 minutes across the border to Vermont, it's another time zone. It would just be so confusing. I mean, I get that that's the way it works in, you know, towns between
right.
time zones, but it would just be a nightmare.
Yeah, I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah.
I can see why it's probably shot down every time, though.
Oh, it's just, yeah. I mean, it's at this point, it's pretty much set in stone. I mean, you can't really change time zones without just
throwing an the whole
insane.
World off.
Yeah, right. I mean, it would just be a nightmare from every aspect of life.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, the only difference for us would be just what time the sun sets and rises. It's obviously,
I
mean,
I feel the same way about the whole daylight saving time thing because
that should be gone,
you know, because wasn't it put in place for like farmers?
Mm-hmm.
We have very, very few farmers like that anymore.
Right. And honestly, the farmers that exist still, they're going to do what they do when they do it.
True. And you they've know, got electricity. Not,
right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they can turn a light bulb on, you know, it's not 1820 anymore.
Yep.
So, yeah, and you know, and like school children aren't getting out of class earlier to go harvest the fields generally these days, you know? Right. So it's, yeah, it's an old archaic thing that should have been gone long ago and they just
haven't yet.
No, but they should because it's ridiculous. So outdated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guam Lake Science Center is super fun. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to take your friends, family, kids, all that kind of thing. It's located in Holderness, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. It's at 23 Science Center Road. They have a really cool thing that they do throughout the winter season. So normally most of their trails and things are closed throughout mm-hmm. the winter. But as with any sort of museum or like a science center like this, they still want to get people to come out to their properties and explore as much as they can even right. in the wintertime, even if it's limited mobility. Mm-hmm. So they have learn to ice fish lessons, which nice. Are kind of cool. I will say my sister learned to ice fish, I think, like last year or something. Yeah. And she was like, it is the worst experience I have ever. She's
why?
Like, you're out there, you're freezing cold and you're
you have,
sitting
like, warming
there.
Huts, don't you?
Yeah, but like you're freezing cold outside and you're waiting for something to bite on a line.
I think it's kind of fun, like an adventure.
I have never been ice fishing, so I thought that would be really cool to do like a learn how to ice fish kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so Squam Lake Science Center does offer those classes. And then they also have something called Wild Winter Walks, which I thought was kind of interesting and creative. So it says, have you ever wondered what happens to the animals at the Science Center during the winter? Most of them stay in the same place, just as they would in the wild. Join a naturalist for a guided walk on the live animal exhibit trail to see our animal ambassadors dressed in their winter coats and discuss how these native animals are well adapted for winter in New Hampshire. If needed, snowshoes are available at no extra cost, or you may bring your own. An adult must accompany children. This program is all outdoors, so you need to dress in warm layers with insulated snow boots, hats, and gloves. Maximum of 12 participants per session, and it's only about $12 or so to attend. So they do them almost, it looks like one every Saturday and one every Sunday is kind of what they're on, because they're usually trying to open mostly on the weekends.
Yeah.
But it's definitely pretty cool. I think that is when you think about what, I kind of think about this thing with like zoos, you know what I mean? If the zoo, if it's snowing, what happens to all those animals? You know what I mean?
I feel like this is like a conversation we've had multiple times over the course of the show, especially when it's really, really cold out at night.
Right.
It's like, what do the animals do?
Because it's kind of, I mean, obviously, if you look at a zoo, right, they're not animals that are indigenous to this area.
Right.
So, like, they have to bring them inside. They have to, like, put them
like tigers and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, can't leave them at, like, 20 below zero. Like,
I don't know. It's kind of wild to me. But anyway, so I think Squam Lake Science Center is a pretty cool spot. Mm-hmm. And their live animal exhibit trail, I'll tell you who's on it. So they have a coyote exhibit. They have a bobcat exhibit, a mountain lion exhibit, white-tailed deer. They have a river otter. I love otters. They're so cute. Black bear, raptor. They have a different bird, so they have a whole different like a bird walk for folks as well. They have a wetlands piece, so that has a little bit of animals in there as well. They've got just all sorts of different things in here. Their website is pretty crazy because it actually goes through each of their pieces, and they actually have animal information sheets for all of the animals that they have. American mink, black bear, bobcat, coyote, fisher cat, gray fox, mountain lion, red fox, river otter, white-footed mouse, the white-tailed deer, the bald eagle, the barred owl, the broad-winged hawk, the goshawk, never heard of that, the great horned owl, the red-shouldered hawk, the red-tailed hawk, the turkey vulture. I always think, when I think of vultures, I always think of, is it the Jungle Book?
Oh, yeah.
With the three vultures.
Yeah. Yep.
American bull. Now, don't stop that again. Yeah. American bullfrog, the gray tree frog, green frog, painted turtle, spotted turtle, brook trout, yellow perch. Keeps going on and on and on and on. All sorts of cool animals. So, and then they have like print off pages of each of those animals.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's not nice and the weather's not great and the sun isn't shining, you're still able to do some of these really cool things that bring you closer to nature. So
right.
Squam Lake Science Center is certainly an option. The learn to fish classes and the wild winter walks that they have over the weekends could be a very, very cool experience to do with, you know, your kids and anyone who's interested mm-hmm. in doing those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So that's super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also have kind of trying to go with, you know, what are some of the things you should look at doing or consider doing over the February vacation?
Yep.
Selfishly a little bit for me as well. There's a place up in Jackson, New Hampshire, and it's called the Nestle Nook Farm.
Nestle Nook.
Hmm. And they have sleigh rides.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a 1.5-mile trail decorated with lights and kerosene lanterns, and you're riding in a custom-made Austrian sleigh.
Wow.
It's pretty fancy. Like, and it's like the horses. I mean, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
So this is actually a bed and breakfast. Mm-hmm. So you can certainly stay there, or you can just take a reservation. They just do a reservation for the sleigh ride itself. So you have to click on book now on the website. So it is Nestle Nook Farm, and it's
as you would think it spells.
Correct. Thank you. You would think it would be spelt. Mm-hmm. It is NestleNookFarmSleighRides.com. And they also have ice skating and snowshoeing as well, but those do not require reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go directly to the main office for ice skates and or for snowshoes. And it's just super fun. 66 Dinsmore Road in Jackson, New Hampshire. And again, that is NestleNookFarmSleighRides.com to learn a little bit more about that. And if you're interested, 603-383-7101. And you can find them on Instagram and Facebook, which is cool. So I thought like the whole sleigh ride thing was just kind of on my mind. So
yep.
I thought it's just beautiful. And
the
gorgeous.
Quintessential New England sleigh ride
experience. So that's super fun as well. And then, you know, believe it or not, and I know we'll talk about this probably next month, but a lot of sugar houses are starting to open. They aren't necessarily starting to do the tapping of the trees, but they're starting to get like operations underway so that their sugar houses are, you know,
ready to go,
ready to rock and roll when the trees start doing their whole thing.
That's crazy. It's that time of year already.
I am.
Oof.
Well, because usually.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's very time of year. I think it's like
the third weekend, I think, in March, which is official New Hampshire maple
the
sugar
weekend.
Rain weekend,
yeah.
Which means you'll have open houses everywhere. And you'll have people will be able to go to those places and see it all.
I just always look at that as like a first sign of spring coming.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's exciting.
But so that's going to be here before we know it. And of course, here on the show, we'll talk about a few different sugar houses that are open and have specific hours and tours and all that kind of stuff, too. So we'll bring that to you as we have it come March. But still, we have another month of relatively
consistent
winter weather.
Freezing, dark.
There he goes. He's down the rabbit hole of depression. Snowy,
bleak.
Dark, all the things. But icecastles.com, you've
ice
got
castles.
Squam Lake Science Center, and you have Nestle Nook Farm in Jefferson. So you do have some things that you can look forward to.
That's true.
Over the next couple
of there's
weeks.
Always things to do, and there's always things to look forward to. I just, you know.
You're negative.
I just don't.
You're negative Nancy.
I am. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with the next segment of Day Trip Destinations on News Talk 99.7 WNTK, AM 1490, FM 98.9 WUVR. News Talk 99.7 WNTK, AM 1490, FM 98.9 WUVR. Welcome back to Day Trip Destinations with Salisbury Hill.
Little Peter Gabriel action for you. So nice.
So relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That steady tribal-esque drum beat.
Mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Just keeps you marching forward through life, through all of its challenges.
Does it?
I don't know.
Makes me want to go back to bed.
Okay. Well, there's that too.
I don't know. It just feel good music. You know?
It is. It just makes you feel happy.
All right. Well, welcome back to our third segment here at Day Trip Destinations. We hope you are having a wonderful Monday morning.
Wonderful.
We are also very, very happy that you have decided to spend some of it with us.
Thank you. Thank you for spending some time with us this morning. Grab your coffee and take a listen to some of the activities and things we have planned around the state of New Hampshire for you to attend and enjoy as we move forward through this beautiful white landscape that is New Hampshire's winter.
Are you attempting to be John Tesh? Because you're failing miserably.
I was trying to be me.
Oh, I didn't get you vibes for that from that at all. 2024 New Hampshire 200 honorees.
Mm-hmm.
What? What are you talking about?
I don't know what that means.
So New Hampshire Business Review every year puts mm-hmm. out the top 200 essentially. And it's business leaders across the state that are making an impact in their industry, that
yep.
are changing lives, you know, doing all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to do a quick shout out because there's a lot of chamber directors who are on this list.
Oh, is there?
I will...
Are you on the list?
No. I would love to be. So one of my goals, I was going to say, is I'll put money down. You know, mm-hmm. give me 5 years and I'll be on this list.
Yep.
I mean, that maybe, hopefully mm-hmm. one day.
Yep.
But, you know, everyone can have dreams.
Yep.
So we're talking about people from the New Hampshire Hospital Association. We're talking about people from the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth, Granite Shore Power, LaBelle Winery, Yankee Magazine. I mean, there's a lot of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire, Granite State Children's Alliance.
Lots of locals, too, it sounds
Dartmouth
like.
College, LaBelle Winery, mm-hmm. Memorial Hospital, Manchester Community College. I mean, it goes on and on, right?
Yeah.
So all of these people have in some way, Revision Energy, all of these people have in some way, and these are just the companies they work for. I'm not saying all of their names, but OmniMount Washington, the New Hampshire Women's Foundation, Sig Sauer, Catholic yep. Medical Center, the Old Farmer's Almanac. I thought that was very interesting.
Is that New Hampshire?
I don't know. It must be.
Huh.
Just Flow Events Marketing, Cushman & Wakefield, Bangor Savings Bank, Hannah Grimes, which is in Keene. Mm-hmm. We've talked about them before. Dumont Communications, Clean Energy New Hampshire, the New Hampshire Academy of Science, New Hampshire Nurses Association, New Hampshire Children's Trust. Ben Sugar Shack is on the list.
Where's that out of?
A lot of different places. I think Temple is his most recent, Temple, New Hampshire. Eversource, AARP, New Hampshire Public Broadcasting, Dartmouth Health. Jessica Keeler, who runs Ski New Hampshire. We also partner with her for quite a bit of promotion and collaboration across the state. Mm-hmm. She's also on the list, which is great. Lakes Region Tourism Association. So Amy Landers is also on the list. And we partner with her as well
mm-hmm.
and with quite a bit. Wayne Lesperance from New England College. So I'm a New England College alum.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne Lesperance was one of the professors when I was there.
Yep.
And he's worked his way up through all of the dean positions. And now he is the president of the college. And he is a man who has such a big heart. He loves everything about NEC and all of the students and all of the faculty and staff.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like a really – he's a great, great, great man.
Yep.
And it was so exciting for me to see him become president of mm-hmm. the college because no one deserves that accolade more.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to take the school into a new generation.
Nice.
And it's very exciting to see that happen. Health Force New Hampshire, New Hampshire Commission for Human Rights, Valley News, Dan McClory is on this list as well. Heather McGrail from the Greater Manchester Chamber of Commerce is also on the list.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty great. Alice Peck Day Memorial Hospital is on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Northeast Delta Dental. We've got Avery Insurance, Luca Paris, who is the director for the Greater Monadnock Collaborative
mm-hmm.
down in Keene. He's also on this list, which is great. Kim Pickering, who is the director for the Western White Mountains Chamber of Commerce, is also on the list.
All right.
So these are like all people. It's so cool because it's like, you know, you know people who are famous. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, because they're people I talk with and work with on a pretty consistent basis.
Right.
Cheryl Reardon, who is from White Mountains Attractions Association, work with her in numerous Granite State Ambassadors, New Hampshire Travel Council. She is a force to be reckoned with, 110%. Valerie Rochon, who actually helped with the Portsmouth, New Hampshire 400th celebration.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually the previous director of the Portsmouth Collaborative
mm-hmm.
before Ben Van Camp ended up taking over after she retired. But she came back on because the 400th celebration, I mean, you're only going to see that once in your lifetime. So
right.
She wanted to be part of that for sure. So it's a pretty robust list from all different industries across the state. But I did think it was pretty cool that so many chamber directors made the list.
Yeah.
I won't take it personally that I'm not on the list.
Give it time.
But yeah, so I think that it's really cool to see that recognition.
Mm.
You know, sometimes I think there's a lot of people out there who put their heart and soul into what they do
mm-hmm.
without any sort of hope of accolades or you know, the recognition of the work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice when these kinds of things come out and it's like, oh, oh my gosh,
right.
Like, that's wild.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe people actually recognize that. Mm-hmm. You know, I did those kinds of things.
It's like the local chamber awards.
Right. I was going to say that. Like, our local chamber awards. There's a lot of folks, you know, they want to like, who nominated me?
Right.
I'm like, doesn't matter. You were nominated, whoever it was, and you are the one who the board of directors selected to take home the award this year. We just had our annual meeting, and then it was great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those kinds of awards are awesome. And then Elise had hers this weekend. Mm-hmm. So it's everyone's kind of in that award. And I think Newport Area Chamber actually has their award nomination process open, I think, right now.
Because mm-hmm.
I think they might do their annual meeting and awards in March, I want to say.
Yeah, I feel like it was later than the other two.
But yeah, so it's – I mean, if you this sounds like one of the police sayings. If you see something, say something,
mm-hmm.
right? But if you see someone doing good work
mm-hmm. –
make sure you mention it. You know, it doesn't have to be to that person, but it could be through this kind of anonymous nomination process, mm-hmm. you know, because it's those people are chances are the people who don't necessarily think that what they do matters.
Right.
So it's nice to be able to see that.
Yeah.
In our last segment here, I also wanted to bring this up before. I think we might have talked about it before, but I'm going to bring it up again because mm-hmm. I think it's important to do so. So in the state of New Hampshire, there's a lot of different trails that you can follow.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one of the ones that I don't like personally, but people love it mm-hmm. is the ice cream trail of New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
People love the ice cream trail. Obviously, who doesn't love ice cream?
Right.
Obviously, except for Matt. But
I mean, I love it. I just can't eat it.
Oh, yeah. We all have our vices. But the ice cream trail is something that people pick up that brochure quite literally every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that bothers me about it is because we only have two ice cream places that are listed.
That's right.
In the section for the Dartmouth Lake
Sanctuary
region.
Dairy Farm.
Mm-hmm.
And then was it the one in Plainfield?
Nope.
No. What's the other one?
The one in Home Depot's parking lot.
Oh, For You Golf?
For You Golf. Yeah,
interesting.
Ice cream. Yep. Mm. So there's only two places. And now, people, remember, it is the New Hampshire Ice Cream Trail is a Granite State dairy promotion.
Mm-hmm.
That is what they do. That's what it's there for.
Right.
But you have to pay to be part of it. Mm. So I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Gotcha.
So it's not like someone's just going around town and being like, hey.
Choosing the best ice cream. Kind of.
Right. Yeah. No, it's pretty much like you apply and you say, okay, love to be on this. I'd love to be part of this promotion.
Gotcha.
And here's my check. So if people aren't willing to do that, you know, then it kind of, you know, leaves a little bit of room.
Yeah. Plenty of good ice cream places around here.
Completely. Yeah. There's a million.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other trails throughout the state of New Hampshire that different organizations put together.
Mm-hmm.
The beer trail, the wine trail, naturally, of course, because, you know, who doesn't love those things?
That's the only way we survive winter.
The cheese trail, the antique trail. Like, mm-hmm. there's just so many things.
Yep.
So there's one that I recently just got a passport book for, and it's the New Hampshire Heritage Museum Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 21 different museums that are listed in that passport book.
Wow.
And the passport book itself is only $25,
mm-hmm.
but it includes admission for that person to go to all of these museums.
Oh, wow. That's a good
deal.
So
it's like $125, like all in all kind of thing.
So it's like $4 per admission or something.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, someone who – oh, it's $150 value, excuse me.
Oh, okay.
But it's one of those things where – you know, as someone who loves everything about the Granite State, this is crazy important to me because mm-hmm. I want to be able to experience all of these museums.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to share my input and mm-hmm. my thoughts on these places
mm-hmm.
with anyone who's coming, who I'm talking to,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
You can go to the NHHeritageMuseumTrail.org mm-hmm. to learn more information. The passport itself is actually physically pick upable. As I was like saying it in my head, I was mm-hmm. like, I don't know if that's a word. You can pick up your passport book at any of the 21 locations for museums
mm-hmm.
and pay the $25. And then it's good for one person for 1 year.
Mm.
So that's pretty significant.
That's
you know,
a good
you get 12 years or 12 years. You get 12 months to kind of
right.
bebop around and
yeah.
check out all 21 of these different museums. Museum hours and operational times are all different. So you mm-hmm. want to make sure that you've kind of coordinated that ahead of time. It's just it's a really cool thing to do for the Granite State of New Hampshire.
Yeah,
I love it. I think it's wonderful. So all of the museums that participate in the passport program are Albacore Park in Portsmouth.
Okay.
The American Independence Museum in Exeter.
Mm-hmm.
The Aviation Museum of New Hampshire in Manchester. I've been to that one. It's awesome.
Is it?
My grandfather was a pilot. My dad flew a Chinook in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people in my family were in the aircraft
aviation industry.
Yeah. So it's really cool to kind of go in and see all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who work there are super energetic about everything aviation, which yeah. is fun. The Belknap Mill in Laconia, the Canterbury Shaker Village in Canterbury,
mm-hmm.
Castle in the Clouds in Moultonborough, the Currier Museum of Art in Manchester, the Lake Winnipesaukee Museum, which is in Laconia, the Lee Scouting Museum in Manchester, the Libby Museum in Wolfboro, the Mill Yard Museum in Manchester, which is very cool if you've never been there.
Yeah.
I've been to that one as well. It's very kind of modern. It's, it's the history of Manchester. It's fun.
Interesting.
I can't even describe it. It's very cool. The Moffat Ladd House in Portsmouth. The Museum of the White Mountains in Plymouth, which is a relatively new museum, by the way. The New Hampshire Boat Museum in Wolfboro. The New Hampshire Historical Society in Concord. The Northeast Motorsports Museum in Loudoun. The Portsmouth Historical Society in Portsmouth. The Remick Country Doctor Museum and Farm in Tamworth. Strawberry Bank in Portsmouth. Woodman Museum in Dover. And the Wright Museum of World War II in Wolfboro. So a lot of the museums that are participating are kind of in the central part of the state.
I was going to say, like, because there's nothing here. It's
which makes it kind of work, though, because then it's, you know, a
I
day
guess
trip.
Driving around, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that makes
so
sense.
So no matter where you're coming from around the state, you're able to kind of come to this little center section.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm losing my voice, but I am. Mm-hmm. So I've been on this list to probably three, I think, of them.
Yep.
Aviation Museum, the Mill Yard Museum, the Strawberry Bank. So I've been to those three, but not like and had my official passport book stamped. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
There's something so like, I don't know, there's something so satisfactory.
Rewarding.
Yeah, yeah. About having your passport book stamped.
Yep.
So yeah, so I highly encourage people to consider, like, especially if you're doing, if you're looking to do things over, say, your, you know, February vacation or something like that. You're not going to some sort of tropical vacation, which some people might, good for you. Some of us aren't.
Right.
So the New Hampshire Heritage Museum Trail is an option for you. Over 20 museums here in the state of New Hampshire that are all about an hour's drive away in some capacity. And it's only $25 per person to get this passport and then to be able to go to all of these places. Okay. So it's cool to learn the history, to make those memories, and to kind of learn a little bit more about what the Granite State can offer. And again, this is just one of the trail programs that is offered by the state. There's a lot of other options. The Antique Trail is another good one. I've checked off a few things on that particular list.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's there's a lot of things. There's a lot of cool things to do.
Yeah.
And again, that's why we're here. We love this whole day trip destinations concept. You know, if you're looking for something to do over the weekend, there's a lot of ways to come up with cool, creative ideas. So that's our show today. We've got the ice castles to consider going to. We've got the Squam Lake Science Center Wild Winter Walks. We've got Nestle Nook Farm in Jefferson for his sleigh rides. We've got sugar houses. We're going to be talking about them in March.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the New Hampshire Museum Trail with over 21 museums in the passport book. And then, our top influential leaders, 200 of New Hampshire.
Well, that wraps up this edition of Day Trip Destinations. Don't forget, you can listen online anytime at WNTK.com on the podcast page. And we will be back with you Friday at 9 on News Talk 99.7 WNTK, AM 1490, FM 98.9 WUVR.